This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back to the London Pub Reviews podcast. Did you wash your hands? If you've returned too quickly or we didn't hear the hand dryer, you probably didn't. Don't be filthy. Next up is Fars School of Dancing, 17 to 19, Dalston Lane, E8 3DF, nearest tube, Dalston Junction. There's a popular bus stop outside Fars School of Dancing, by which I mean that a lot of people wait there, rather than a lot of people like it. This bus stop provided me with a good vantage point to look inside the large, street-facing windows of Fars School of Dancing, allowing me to determine that it was, in fact, a fine London pub. Although not filled with leotards, it wasn't filled with Toby jugs either. There were no gaming machines, football shirts or stuffed gazelle heads. Nor was the decor slick and fancy, instead, old structural features, such as beams made from iron and wood, were given prominence, as was a rusted antique motorbike, which was hanging by chains from the ceiling. These things and more could be seen from the popular bus stop outside Fars School of Dancing, when you viewed Fars from afar. Inside, the signs of weathering and rust were more apparent. The walls were peeling. The radiators were shedding their coats, and the paint and varnish on every other surface was curling and flaking like heck. The suspended motorbike, as mentioned, had lost every inch of paint, and I began wondering what had caused Fars to end up like the underside of a bridge. It was as though, rather than being a pub interior in Dalston, it was a Venetian bar exterior, exposed to the canals and all the elements. Still, the electricity was working, and the lights, dull as they were, provided a diffused and moody glow. Most dance studios come with a balancing bar along their walls, although the bar in this case served fine ale. Once I'd lubricated myself with a nice drink and then another, I felt a lot less rusty than the surroundings, and ready to put my reviewing pen to paper.
Right you are.
The wooden floorboards were quite unusual as pub floorboards go, being particularly wide and long. They were like whole trees, yet to be cut and trimmed to size. And as I was returning to my table with yet more drinks, the boards seemed to roll like trees as well.
At first,
I thought it was just the one weak plank, but then I realised with shock that all the boards were moving. In fact, they were bobbing about like logs on a river. They were wet, too. Not just from the ale I was now spilling on their jostling, bumpy surface, but from the volumes of water being sloshed up between each plank. The unbothered bartender was casually polishing a glass, while I attempted to stay firm upon the jouncing and turning floorboards, desperately holding my three pints aloft, their measures depleting swiftly. Even more concerning was the fact that my unstable log base had also begun travelling as well. The entire river of floor appeared to be heading towards a sign below the motorbike, which read, Basement Bar. In the distance, above the tumultuous churn of the rapids, I could hear a screeching, tearing sound. After beginning a simple journey from the bar to my table, it now seemed I was being floated down a river, over a waterfall, and into the sawmill. In desperation, I attempted to hop from one floorboard log to another, but they were altogether slippery and prone to spinning. My balance was thwarted by my need to hold my pint, and with my legs thrashing about, I must have resembled a lead performer in Riverdance. Literally! As the waterfall stairs drew nearer, I decided to drop astride a logboat, and with pints clutched beneath an arm, I paddled furiously towards my table in the calmer outlying waters. Eventually, although soaked, I survived the treacherous crossing in one piece.
Yes.
I was looking yearnfully back towards the serving area, far across the torrent of pub, when I heard a scratching-type noise coming from the window. I turned to see a small crowd gathered outside the bus stop, all peering through the window at me. When they caught my eye, some of them shuffled away sheepishly, while the bolder ones continued pointing, tusking, and shaking their heads. A London Pub Reviews was written and created by Paul Ewan and performed by Tim Key. The producer was Nick Coon. It was recorded by Alex O'Donovan at Strong Room Studios. Sound design was by Andy Goddard. The executive producer was Claire Broughton. And it was a Hattrick production.
I chose Stick of the Dump by Clive King.
I've chosen Little Women by Louisa May Alcott.
I have chosen the book When Hitler Stole Pink Rabbit.
I have chosen My Friend Flicker.
Danny, Champion of the World.
The Seven Crystal Balls.
The Iron Man.
Claudine at St. Clair's.
The Guinness Book of Records.
I chose Ballyshoes.
And then I came across in a school library a copy of Treasure Island. I was terrified.
I'm Janet Ellis, and each week I invite a guest to come and chat with me about their favourite childhood book. They often bring along their own battered copy.
It's not at all as I remember it.
This is a celebration of reading.
I ended up reading it to my mum at home every night.
Because who doesn't still secretly check under the bed for monsters?
I knew that it was true.
Harbour secret desires to run off to the circus.
Riding like the wind into the purple hills. It really captured my imagination.
Twice Upon a Time. Follow us on Instagram at @TwiceUponPod for updates and guest news.
I want to read this book again and again and again and again and again.
Twice Upon a Time is a Hattrick podcast.